Okay, I'm on the phone with Derek DeKirchhoff again, and we're continuing our series on what happened to McLuhan and what schools of media ecology developed after he passed on December 31st, 1980, 34 years ago. Okay, Derek, we've done Act 1.
Hi.
Hello, Derek. We focused on Barry Nevitt in Act 1, the Toronto School of Media Ecology. Now we're going to Act 2, what I call Act 2. Barry Nevitt jumped on the stage a few months before Marshall passed and then was active in 81 and 82 with publications. So I have written here, the second to jump into the post-McLuhan arena was the publishing enterprise of the New York School of Media Ecology, CMUTEX, edited by Sylvère Latrenge, born in 1938, born in France. But with a twist, ignoring the comprehensive approach of Nevitt, Sylvère Latrenge, in brackets, miming willy-nilly the strategies of the postmodern tetrad managers, close bracket, savored ambivalently the manipulant surface of the postmodern beachhead and sponsored an anti-postmodern debate between Michel Foucault, Jean...
Hey, can we unpack that?
okay.
No, really. You're giving us the opening.
Well, I do unpack it after I list the names. So let me just list the debate, and then I unpack it. Yes.
No, but some expression here. Anyway, go for it.
Yeah, so the debate between Michel Foucault, CMUTEX started to publish Foucault's writings and new books, new things that Foucault would do for Sylvère. And Sylvère was at Columbia University in the French department. And second part of the debate was carried out by Jean-Francois Lyotard. Third person would be Jean Beaujard. Fourth person I list is Paul Virilio. And the fifth debaters would be the team of Gilles Deleuze and Félix Guattari. So then I say, French intellectuals irritated by McLuhan's iconic status in the postmodern 60s, they danced on the toes of the culture, and I put quotes, culture in quotes, side of the McLuhan dialectic by foregrounding technological, and that's in quotes, products of the 70s and early 80s and some of their effects. For example, while rehearsing the manipulant stance of McLuhan, post-nominalist Jean Beaujard preferred to emphasize how the telematic society bypassed the global theater. And here's a quote from Beaujard, The Ecstasy of Communication, 1987. I have 1988, but I think it came out originally in 87. Quote, this is our problem, insofar as this electronic encephalization, this miniaturization of circuits and of energy, this transistorization of the environment, condemns to futility, to obsolescence, and almost to obscenity, all that which once constituted the stage of our lives. So you see that I take advantage of him saying the stage of our lives. He does not mean the global theater, or unless he does. But I could take advantage of it and say he's commenting on the post-global theater.
Yes, I think it's an interesting thing that he did have. In that sentence, he shows a tremendous awareness of the, say, the incorporation of the electronic era.
Yes, he's a good student of McLuhan and whatever he developed beyond that.
No, I think it's a very interesting thing. It's he wrote Travels in Virtual Reality, and which was going across America.
Well, that's later. You know, this is
yeah, I know it's later.
And
it's
this book,
later.
The Exit of Communication, is a later book. He's talking about how there is the medium. There is no medium. By the late 70s, he's talking about that. He understands this weird, what I call paramedia situation, not paramodern, not postmodern, paramodern.
What amuses me is that you did sort of. Credit Jean Baudrillard with a manipulant stance, and I think that's an insight.
Yes, I think people did not know that unless they knew him personally, where it was a student.
Which
in France.
I did.
Beg your pardon?
I sure did know personally. I told you the story I had with him, didn't I?
I'm not sure. Let's just start it and see what
the
happens.
What about us going up the CN Tower in Toronto?
Yes. You told us that. Yeah.
You know that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I won't go back.
No.
But I mean that was rather funny. No, I think it's his books. His book contain enough distance and enough humor, I would say, that you can trust that he had a Manichean stance. I mean, something that comes through even in Le Système des Objets, which was the first book he wrote.
Yes.
And where he helped himself generously to McLuhan without sharing the news.
Yes.
But later he did acknowledge the importance of McLuhan. Well, anyway, with me, we did talk about it, and he did say that McLuhan was a very important thinker. But as a Frenchman, he wouldn't sort of wax lyrical about it.
Right, and he being part of the, I think he was an editor at the Situationist headquarters, their newsletter or something, so he had developed a theatrical and cynical view of things already just by his personality, right, and his training. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, that would be true.
The next part. If that doesn't trigger, I mean, that's a mouthful, what he says in 87, 88, and that's page 17 on The Ecstasy of Communication I had, probably the paperback. The thing is, let's just go back and track through some of the other things he said, because he starts 10 years before. Or the system of objects, if that's using McLuhan, that's 1968.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
No, it's very early.
Yeah?
Very early.
Okay, but again, no one would know that, because McLuhan would talk about the post-object world, so it was sort of interesting how Baudrillard put on language.
No, the Système des Objets is not, it's more a sociology of attitudes, a sociology of manners, attitudes. It's more a socio-psychology than it is a insistence on object per se.
Okay, so it's about the effects.
It's about collectors, for example, how do collectors, you know, focus entirely on the object that's missing. And think of that, very interesting. The book is actually one of the freshest that I read about him. I read L'échange symbolique de la mort, and that was like pretty heavy.
Yeah.
Travels in Virtual Reality is a lot of fun. You should read it. It's like, you know.
No, I have those books. I have them.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Now, I have a huge Baudrillard.
A lot of it seems tongue-in-cheek. What?
I have a huge Baudrillard library.
Well, he deserves it.
Yeah. Now, when did you read System of Objects? In the early 80s, late 70s?
Ages ago.
No, I mean, did you read it before you translated Cliché Archetype or after?
Good question. Hang on there.
I know
you're very loud about timing myself, but...
No, you invite them to the Congress in Paris, the panels in late 1983, so you showed you were aware of Baudrillard by then.
Oh, I was... No, I was, you could not be not aware of Baudrillard, because he was very, very well known and talked about, and intellectually stimulating, and one of the most stimulating of the time, along with Foucault and... I wasn't so hard on Deleuze and Guattari, and I should probably go back to them now because there's so much about networks. Baudrillard was extremely, and I heard him talk several times too. He was a brilliant talker.
But were you aware of him in late 70s, early 80s?
Yeah. For
yeah,
sure.
Actually, you were teaching over there in Europe, weren't you, in late 70s?
No, I was teaching in Canada.
But
I had friends who informed me.
I mean, but people in the University of Toronto knew about him, and not because you were over next to Paris.
Yes, but he wasn't given as much importance as my friends in Europe, and it's true. I used to go back to Europe now and then, and
Okay,
but,
so
but I do remember being stunned by the intelligence and the freshness that came out of that book, and it was really recent when I read it.
Right.
I think it came out in a collection where I was supposed to publish one of my books, which never happened. I had a bunch of these books which had just been recently published, and I was given, and that was one among them. And it was called, I forgot the collection's name. Anyway, and as I said, it was a very, very strong, had a lasting impression on me.
Okay, so I'm going to read the next paragraph, which is even more of a mouthful, just to see what ideas you get. So I'm claiming, I'm building up a case here that Baudrillard is bouncing off McLuhan. McLuhan's a big anchor in Baudrillard more than people realized at the time, the 70s, early 80s. So I say, before, in the late 60s and early 70s, in his quest, Baudrillard's quest for a methodology that bypassed the archetypal, and I put that in quotes, the archetypal McLuhan, and that would be the Madison Avenue icon image of McLuhan, which was nowhere near the McLuhan we knew, right? But this iconic guy who was sort of pro-television and anti-books and that silly image that was around. So Baudrillard had to deal with that on some level. So in his quest for a methodology that bypassed the archetypal McLuhan, Baudrillard had intuited the tetrad and its phatic tactile manager, those are my terms, in brackets, McLuhan's discovery of the late 50s as the Global Theater was inaugurated. So McLuhan discovered the tetrad manager in the late 50s, and that's a idiosyncratic terminology that I use, but I'm going to build a case to support it.
I don't get the English here. Baudrillard had intuited the tetrad and its phatic tactile manager. I do think of a manager as a person. I don't understand quite what do you mean? Manager as a person or is
a person.
Part of the technology?
A person. Basically the intelligence agencies, the advisors to Henry Kissinger. They let the people express themselves. And McLuhan said we switched from myth control society to a norm control society where people were controlled by their passions rather than being controlled by morals or ethics imposed from top-down institutions. And the elites in the corporate world, the intelligence world, understood that and let everybody run around and express themselves all they want, even encourage conflict. So that this was a tactile, hands-on, let every form of media happen, and the society, the intelligence agency, would just respond phatically, like, carry on, boys, all is well. While all kinds of great revolutions of expression popped out in the late 50s and early 60s, which they call the tumultuous 60s now, I'm saying that the intelligence agencies, they understood that this was coming and were laughing behind the scenes at all the chaos that was happening.
Hmm.
Okay, so that may sound a little too political, but I don't want to put that spin in
no,
there.
No, I'm not. I'm still back on the idea of what McLuhan saw as a disintegration of the system.
Yes, and the
which is happening now very strongly. I find that we are in a very disintegrated times now.
Well, I say this is the breakdown of the Android meme, the second phase of technology itself. Humans were left behind, chemical bodies left behind 30 years ago. Now we're watching the Android meme create its own crack-up. Okay?
Yeah.
Watch this quote. So I'm going to take a really good Baudrillard quote to show his perceiving of what I'm trying to say McLuhan was on about with the phrase phatic tactile manager. So here's Baudrillard, for Critique of the Political Economy of the Sign, 1972, very early. Baudrillard says, from this perspective, in which the production of signs seen as a system of exchange value takes on an entirely different meaning than in the naive utopia of their use value, design and the environmental disciplines can be considered as one of the branches of mass communication, a gigantic ramification of human and social engineering. From this moment on, our true environment is the universe of communication. It is in this that it differs radically from the 19th century concepts of nature or of milieu, and they're in quotes, nature and milieu. While these latter referred to physical biological, in brackets, determinism of substance, of heredity, and of species, or also sociocultural or the milieu laws, so while these latter referred to physical biological or sociocultural laws, environment is from the beginning a network of messages and signs, its laws being those of communication. Now he's talking about laws here, and nobody knows about the tetrad laws of McLuhan for another couple of years till 74. So it's interesting he's pointing out laws. The environment is the autonomization of the entire universe of practices and forms. That would be all media, from the everyday to the architectural, from the discursive to the gestural and the political. As a sector of operations and calculation, as sending, receiving of messages, as space-time of communication. Nothing
so he's
is more
predicting then what's going on now, just like McLuhan did in his way.
Right. Well, I'm saying that that Baudrillard was the Android meme replay of McLuhan. The Android meme shows up in the late 70s, early 80s, and has in my chart the replay of McLuhan, Ezra Pound, and Yeats and the Vorticists and some of the breakthroughs of the men of 1914. And I even see McLuhan as an early extension of the Android meme, but he's on the cusp. He sort of sees the Android meme coming. But Baudrillard is redoing McLuhan on behalf of the Android meme. And then the collapse of that Baudrillardian world is what we've seen. Okay, just to continue the quote here. The environment is the, see, autonomization. It takes on a life of its own. Of the entire universe of practices and forms, from the everyday to the architectural, from the discursive to the gestural and the political, as a sector of operations and calculation, as sending, receiving of messages, as space-time of communication. Now, that's a great sentence. If you understand McLuhan, he's stating it more inclusive than McLuhan. He's covering more factors.
That's what I'm looking at, and I find that really very interesting, to think about. I never heard him. I didn't read that. I remember I started the Critique of Political Economy. I read the first 50 pages, and then I dropped it because I had something else, and I never went back.
Yeah.
But so I didn't get to that sentence, and I'm sorry because it would have helped. It's fabulous. It really is. It's very bright.
And you're right. And it's way into the book. It's page 200. So you didn't get to that.
A mea culpa.
Okay.
Anyway.
So, continuing the quote, nothing is more false than the limits that a humanistic design wishes to fix for itself. Now, humanistic, that'd be visual space, you know, Gutenberg galaxy. In fact, everything belongs to design. Everything springs from it. That's what I mean by tetrad management. Whether it says so or not, it's phatic. It doesn't tell you everything. The body is designed. Sexuality is designed. Political, social, human relations are designed, just as our needs and aspirations, etc. This design, in quotes, designed, this design universe is what properly constitutes the environment. Man,
that's brilliant, too.
Isn't that amazing?
When
McLuhan said that the global theater demands the world to be programmed, including our DNA, this is what Baudrillard is saying with specific vocabulary that expresses it in a little more detail than Marshall does.
Exactly, and I find that very, very interesting, and I'm glad you're pointing it out. No,
yeah.
It's cool, no question. Keep going.
And we should stand in awe.
I haven't read it before, so it's all discovery for me, and if you leave me speechless, well...
No, that's good. I'm ready to talk about it, but I'm also in awe of it. I think I'm trying to show that those people who studied McLuhan really learned something, and then they could develop it. If they're really smart, and Baudrillard does it, he's completing what McLuhan started. He's spelling out the program Global Theater in perfect language here.
Yeah.
And you know, didn't even know about McLuhan's Global Theater ever. They just knew about Global Village and the Madison Avenue level of image of McLuhan, the iconic image. There's no talk about the Global Theater. It's all about the Global Village, and. Baudrillard is so startlingly up-to-date to McLuhan, people don't even know that McLuhan meant that. And also, this is written 2 years before the laws of media, or before he started handing out the laws of media. I got the first handout in about 1974 that he did at the center.
Really?
Yes, I have the first ones he did. And so the book doesn't
come... How cool. Memory to have.
Go ahead. I have him right in my archive, and but he the book doesn't come out till 88, many years later. But if you were around the center, you heard talk of the tetrad. You know, Marshall was talking about it in his Monday night seminars.
Oh no, I'm not. No, I was more here obsessed by the objects as a collector. No, the idea being that having the first. Class distribution of notes on the tetrad is really quite sweet. No, I was aware of the tetrad.
I'm not saying you weren't aware. I'm saying that people didn't know about the tetrad unless they were at the center.
Sure. No, that's true.
They had to read Etcetera magazine. There was another journal, Technology and Culture, another obscure magazine. Marshall and Barry laid out the tetrad in the mid-70s and those in the late 70s. Who was reading that? Nobody, you know, unless you were... mm-hmm. Bob Logan or someone who was an associate or yourself with McLuhan or myself, we were reading it, and we knew about it.
Sure.
But nobody knew it until Eric put the book out in 1988. You know, and here's Baudrillard. You're going back, and he's describing it 15 years earlier, which is pretty incredible. And he's starting to.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you see, it constitutes a later phase than Barry Nevitt. Barry Nevitt is a good explanation of the finer points of McLuhanism, but he certainly isn't. He would understand Baudrillard, but he didn't have the language to say this.
No, that's for sure.
Yeah. So this is
that's for sure, and that is the upside of the generally a little bit objectionable French intellectual terrorists.
The upside, yes, the service.
Yeah, no, because they do use language, they know it, and they do describe well certain things. They never have examples for anything they have, for any theory they have. That's one of the shortcomings.
Yeah.
But they do, whatever theory they have. You ever heard that funny story? I forgot now. It was told on the stage by Bruce Powell. Well, he was at a TED conference, and he said, the interesting thing is that Canada simply doesn't function well in theory, but it functions well in reality. France functions perfectly in theory and goes nowhere in reality. So we've got the same thing here. Right.
All right.
So next
Let me, I think, would you like to read the next paragraph or the next few lines, or shall I continue?
Sure. So the design, later as the hologramic effects of the global theater crystallized, in quotations, and became for Baudrillard the object, in quotations, he retained McLuhan's perception of the manipulative character of the tactile interplay of the mixed corporate media, the telematic, in quotation mark and in parenthesis, which he termed seduction, also in quotation.
Now you're going to read a quote. Now you're going to read a quote from his book on seduction.
And it comes from...
It's from seduction,
huge.
I think.
From seduction, right.
Yeah, now unless...
No,
wait a minute. I've got IBID. See, someone copied this over for me and made this website. Let me say this, Derek. Somebody made this website for me or did this stuff, and I think there are mistakes in there. So I may be wrong, but it looks like, since I have IBID, that looks like correct. It must come from a critique of the political economy of design, page
59. That's what it is. That's right. That's why I couldn't... Okay,
right.
So... So I'll start with that quote. Seduction is the world's elementary dynamic. Gods and men were not separated by the moral chasm of religion. They continuously played the game of mutual seduction. The symbolic equilibrium of the world is founded on these relations of seduction and playfulness. Not bad. All this has changed significantly for us, at least in appearance. For what has happened to good and evil, to the true and the false, to all these great distinctions which we need to decipher and make sense of our world? All these terms, torn asunder at the cost of unbounded energy, are ready at any moment to extinguish one another and collapse to our greatest joy. Seduction hurls them against one another and unites them beyond meaning in a paroxysm of intensity and charm. Well, that's another mouthful, man. I'm going to have to get around a few of these. I'm fascinated by the gods and men were not separated by the moral chasm of religion. They continuously played the game of mutual seduction.
Now, these are concepts that would write.
That's a very Voltairean statement, because Voltaire said if... God made us in his image, we certainly have returned the compliment. No, but that points to what this is, like, you know, gods and men, seduction. Seduction of the God you project.
Well, McLuhan would call God's technologies.
Well, in this case, yeah, Yeah, they're certain seduction from technology is good. It works practically only on seduction. No, it's fascinating. Total seduction, permanent seduction. Actually, we're ODing on seduction.
And this is the kind of language Baudrillard would write in the 70s. He would drop this kind of talk later. So that's why I think this is for critique of the political economy of sign. Look what I'm pointing out here. He retained McLuhan's perception of the manipulative character of the tactile interplay of the mixed corporate media, which he termed seduction. All that this point is, that he's making about seduction, is what McLuhan means the manipulative effect of media on people. And then I say, and Baudrillard mixed it with the reversibility of McLuhan's tetrad. Now, well, look at this quote. Here's Baudrillard in the same book, a few pages later. Quote, the principle of reversibility, which is also the one of magic and seduction, requires that all that has been produced must be destroyed, and that which appears must disappear. Now, you know, he could get this from McLuhan's Challenge and Collapse chapter, The Nemesis of Creativity and Understanding Media. You know what I mean? So reversibility is there in 60s McLuhan land. And so Baudrillard could have gotten it from that. Then Baudrillard says, we have unlearned the art of disappearance. In brackets, art as such has always been a powerful lever of disappearance, dash, power of illusion and of a denegation of the real, end bracket. Saturated by the mode of production, we must return to the path and aesthetic of disappearance. Seduction is party to this. It is that which deviates, that which turns us away from the path, that which makes the real return to the great game of simulacra, which makes things appear and disappear, unquote. And then I say a third factor.
Let's chew on this one a bit.
Beg your pardon?
We can chew on this one for a bit, can't we? You're rushing through this, and for me, it's like, you know, I'm slow going.
No, that's good. It's good that you want to stay on it.
But I do, because all of that stuff, first of all, the principle of reversibility clearly is part of the tetrad, of course. It's the fourth part, which is simultaneous to the other ones, we all know. But I think it's an extraordinary insight, but I don't know that he means it in the same way that McLuhan meant flip or reversal.
Yeah, there's too many concepts that he puts in there. Too many aesthetics.
Yeah.
Too much aesthetics. It's almost a classical perception of repeating what he meant by the seduction quote. Yeah, it's touch and go there, whether he. But I'm showing that if he did mean what McLuhan's doing, then McLuhan got there first. At best, he can only repeat McLuhan here. And we're questioning whether he's even doing that.
But between you and I and anybody who's listening to this, I personally don't really care whether McLuhan got there first or not. I think that there is so much difference in the way that Baudrillard expresses it that if he did get it from McLuhan, it would have been nice for him to say so. But...
Yeah.
But the fact is, he adds. What I don't like about people, you know, grabbing stuff from other people when they don't add anything to it. This guy is adding a lot to it.
Yes. Yeah.
And you know what McLuhan said, man? Come on, don't be so unfair. He said, "Great artists steal; the other ones borrow."
Right.
So I think an indulgence for Baudrillard's missing the occasion of quoting his quote.
Right.
In fact, at that time, quoting the others was, you know, a student did that, but the great masters, you know.
Yes. So I'm saying you've got seduction, which is McLuhan's media hypnosis, then you've got reversibility, and then I add the third part, that Baudrillard brings in McLuhan's interest in the phatic. And this is where I would give quotes from McLuhan. See the top third of page 8 in Marshall McLuhan, The Interior Landscape, The Literary Criticisms of Marshall McLuhan, 1969, and the bottom of page 198 in Marshall McLuhan's From Cliché to Archetype, 1970. So I'm showing, I have to get, rather than put the quotes in, that would be too much, and I'd have problems with Mady Molinaro and all that stuff, so just tell people where it is, you know, and you can go look it up.
Mm-hmm.
So
sure.
There's McLuhan. We grant that he talked about the phatic, and then here comes Baudrillard. He brings in the phatic. Quote, And this is from the book Seduction, 1990, but that was originally written in 1978. So I'm pretty sure, and it was that was published by Croker, the 1990 version out of Montreal. So here's Baudrillard. If the phatic has become hypertrophied or exaggerated in all our communication systems. Now, that's a great understanding of what McLuhan's saying. I mean, if I find Baudrillard's helps prove to me the points I make about McLuhan, because Baudrillard is way better than McLuhan if McLuhan never made it. But McLuhan started talking about phatic communion in his earliest essays in the early 50s. So it's very interesting how Baudrillard, wittingly or unwittingly, stands on the shoulder of McLuhan, you know, in these more esoteric parts that people don't even know about. So if the phatic has become...
Yes, but then you have to understand, wait.
Yeah.
Phatic is something that many of the French intellectuals would have gotten absolutely without going through McLuhan.
Yes.
Because they were all, you know, they were the six functions of language.
Yes, Jakobson.
And I forgot what they are, but phatic was one of them. And it was amply described, and it was part of psycholinguistics of the time. So I'm not sure. I think it all, conjecturally, I think you're right that a lot of that comes from McLuhan.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm not saying necessarily that he got it from McLuhan.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that his great insight about the phatic, people don't know McLuhan emphasized that way back at the beginning.
Oh, okay, okay. All right, I got you. Okay, fine.
Right.
No.
Yeah, I'm trying to show that, in a way, I'm showing that when you get a certain level of awareness of meaty dynamics, you end up thinking, and you have to think like McLuhan, and these later people end up doing McLuhan, redoing it with a little more, you know, vocabulary. But you can't escape the perception that McLuhan is realizing. It's a collective perception.
Oh, agreed. No, it's clearly, well, you can certainly escape it if you are not very clever.
Yeah, but if
anyway,
you're paying attention.
I've got to run very soon, so we may have to wrap up, and what makes me sad is we can't go to the end of Baudrillard so as to, but I think we can go back to Baudrillard next week.
We're
going to
pick up right where we left off. So let me just read the big quote here from Seduction.
Sure.
1990, page 164 to 165. Baudrillard says, if the phatic has become hypertrophied in all our communication systems, i.e. within the media and information processing systems, it is because teledistance ensures that speech literally no longer has any meaning. One says that one is speaking, but by speaking one is only verifying the network and the fact that one is linked up with it. There's not even an other in quotes, at the other end. For in a simple reciprocation of signals of recognition, there is no longer an identifiable transmitter or receiver, but simply two terminals. The one terminal signal to the other is merely an indication that something is going through and that, therefore, nothing is happening. Perfect dissuasion. Another awesome...
Yeah, I must say, I'm not clear on what he means by all of that. It's true that at the phatic mode, and of course the phatic mode is very, very used on, you know, people photographing their meal and putting it online for other people to see is purely phatic. It's just the extension. We can get that. But the fact is that online you do a ton of things which have nothing to do with the phatic function. So it's a little bit, that's manipulation. He pushes you to your corner, and then you say, come on, yeah, wake up, guy. There's something else, too.
Right. Now, I asked him about that. I said, are you pointing out the phatic nature of media? He says, no. There's no phatic because there's no contact possible. And phatic is making connection, you know, just going, the phatic.
I know, but I mean, that's online all the time. That's whatever... No, you know, even if you put a certain kind of content, like if the content gets down to simply a recognition of presence, which is what these, files of photographs online.
Instagram.
What I'm saying is phatic is, and in fact, that's not new either from the point of view of either McLuhan or Baudrillard, because the first writer, brilliant and extremely difficult to read, called Maurice Blanchot, wrote The Infinite Conversation, which was about literally the description of the world talking to itself all the time. And it's a pure phatic environment. It really is. And that came in 1952, 3, something like that.
Right.
Very, very early book. He Blanchot has been one of the... He's so complex, he really is complex, that very few people have been able to master his thought.
Mm.
And I spent years trying to understand l'espace littéraire, the literary space, which is something I was trying to read for my students, but boy, did I ever have trouble. But L'Entretien Infini is a lot easier, and it describes all these things, all these networks of communication, and the kind of globality of it, all of that coming, you know, at a time when people were not thinking globally.
Right.
So there is antecedent also there. And I find it interesting that this comes through. The only thing that I'm not very happy with is the he's forgetting about every other function than the phatic one. That's I don't understand why he then comes up to say, well, it means perfect perfect dissuasion of what? You know, and for whom? So it's very cryptic, and as I said, I'm not getting it. There is no longer an identifier, transmitter, or receiver, but simply two terminals. That is actually happening, but it's not what he's trying to say. He's trying to say that people are turning it to just being two terminals, and it's not. I don't see it's a manipulative exaggeration. On that, I have to leave you. I enjoyed this, and I'm hoping that we'll get back on it soon.
Yeah, we'll pick up right where we left off. Thanks a lot, Derek.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.